906, he just pulled up a chair here in the studio, as he does every Saturday morning. Walter Assey from Renovco is here to answer your calls and your questions, help you out on the Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. You had a nice gift waiting for me, an envelope. And
yeah, it was cash.
Addressed in my name and everything.
It was stuffed with fives.
It was.
I've been, Walter's had problems with his access card to get into the building and get into the elevator and the different security doors here. So I've been running down the last few weeks to get him and personally escorting him upstairs.
It's an end of an era.
Those days are over, my friend.
I'm gonna miss it.
I want to get straight to the phone. Is that okay?
That's more than okay.
All right. Let me go here in order the calls that came in. We're going to start with Jonathan. Jonathan, are you still there?
Good morning. Good morning, Walter. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. You're on the air. You want to talk about your sink?
Yes. Upstairs for my bedroom, I have a bathroom that has, I think it's called like a his and her sink or two sinks. One sink, the water pressure flows like a waterfall. The other one, very, very slow. The sink farther from the water source is the one that runs slow. It used to run equally good, but now, no matter how high I turn on the water, it only comes out as like a smaller trickle.
Okay, so that might be just a question of a cartridge to change inside the faucet or some type of blockage in the pipe itself. I don't think the water pressure have anything to do with it in this case. So if you just take it apart and see if you want to change the cartridge inside or if you know you want to have a plumber come in and just check it out, maybe flush the pipes, clean them, you should be good. There's no if the water pressure is going all the way to the bathroom, well, that means it's not really from the city. It's not from the water pressure itself. It's mostly faucet related.
So it's like just the last little bit to that sink.
That's right. That's right. So it's not a big deal, to be quite frank with you. Try that first, and it should work. If it doesn't, let me know.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
How do you tell visually if the cartridge needs to be replaced?
I mean, you don't. To be quite frank, you don't. Okay. Some of them are the plastic cartridges. You can, because you see that there's wear on them and they crack.
Okay.
But as far as if it's a regular cartridge like a Mullen cartridge, I just usually replace them and try that first because they're very cheap to buy.
Okay. Very good. What do you think, Jonathan? You gonna give that a crack?
I'll try. I'm a little bit hesitant to open things up to look at the cartridge, but I might try that.
You know, videotape yourself opening them up so you know how to put them back together. That's probably the best way. But if you're not very handy, I mean, even if you would call in a plumber, it's not a big job per se. It's like within 10 minutes it can get done, so it shouldn't be very costly.
Thanks for your time.
All right, Jonathan, thank you very much. Let's go to, who's up next? Oh, this is Perry. Hi, Perry, are you there?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, where are you calling from?
From LaSalle.
Very nice. And you got a foundation issue?
Yes, I have a crack in the foundation.
Yeah.
I've fixed them before with the exterior membrane kit you buy from Rona. All's well, you know, goes good. No water comes in. But this time I dug a hole and there's a fair-sized boulder there right at the crack. So I was wondering about the doing it from the inside with those kits you buy where you can inject from the inside.
Yeah.
Is it any good?
Look, it depends on the size of the crack. That's number one.
Usually,
it's what?
It's not huge. It goes all the way down, but it's not like a wide crack.
Okay. Is it a finished area in your basement or is it unfinished?
Unfinished.
Okay. So the good news is you could try. And leave it alone for a whole cycle just to see if it works. Usually, I'm against that. I like to fix things from the outside, specifically if you have a big, giant boulder in that area. That means the hydrostatic pressure is typically way higher when you have any water that is stuck between the boulder and the foundation. So if you have any weakness there, the water tends to spray in at a much higher pressure. That's why when we do backfill, we always try to clean out the boulders and not to have them there, because they do wreak havoc on your foundation when you have any type of weakness in them. Having said that, The fact that it's not a finished area, it actually works well with you for you, because you can watch that crack and see if that works from the inside. It's very, it's not really the right way to go. We always like to stop water at the source, which is from the outside. Specifically, if it becomes a structure crack, you want to have some rods in order to ensure that it's solidified and well reinforced, for that matter. Because, you know, it's foundation crack, we tend to always forget. It's not just a question of the foundation, the water getting in. It's also the structure of the house. So usually, you would have to identify the seriousness of the crack beforehand. But having said that, if you're saying it's a small crack, try it from the inside and see how it behaves. If it doesn't behave well, unfortunately, you would have to do it from the outside. And because you do have a boulder, you're going to probably need to rent a small excavator to get rid of it.
Right.
Can I do that with drilling holes and using expanders or some kind of thing like that, like I've seen on YouTube, to get rid of the boulder?
To get to the boulder and to kind of crush it?
Bracket it.
Well, one of the things that is probably easier to do is, to be quite frank with you, just rent a jackhammer from any place like Simplex or Lutec or all these guys, and just hammer it down into smaller pieces. That's probably even faster, and, you know, it doesn't cost much for a small jackhammer.
Yeah, like, maybe you're right.
$50 a day or something.
And that boulder, it's in the same place. I'm assuming the boulder caused the crack?
Highly unlikely, but it doesn't help the fact that it's there. I mean, it's something that's pressuring. You could be right, because of the pressure that it's causing on the foundation itself. It's not helping the water infiltration for sure. That creates, like I said, a lot of bottled up pressure in that area. So it's imperative that you get rid of it. And if you can get to it, and that's what I understand from you, for all kind of reasons, it's better to get rid of it. Yeah, to get it out of there. I mean, if not, you want to get it out of there, at least crush it into smaller pieces that doesn't become an issue.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Good luck with that, Perry. Appreciate
it. Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye.
It's coming up on 9:15. Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco, and we're going to come back and talk to Suzanne and Mario and Tony. Get back to these questions for Walter here in just a second. It's 20 minutes after 9 along with Ken and Walter Assey from Renovco. I just want to bring in Martin Bruyere. Sorry, Martin.
Are you hungry this morning?
Sorry, I'm hungry. Martin Bruyere of the Roxborough Legion. Martin, you've got a big event coming up, and I know you've been talking to Walter about it the last couple of days. Is it next weekend?
No, it's the weekend of August 26th, specifically on the 26th.
Right.
We're going to be basically officially reopening with the reconsecration of our cenotaph in front of the building.
Mm.
And we're going to have a big parade. We've invited dignitaries both from within the Legion and local politicians and whatever to join us. There will be marching bands and pipers and the whole bit.
Oh, yeah, nice.
But that being said, we have our official reopening, but I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everybody that made this possible. You know, in particular, CJAD, Walter and Renovco, and our community, who really came together. You know, the support that we've received over the last number of months is really heartwarming.
Martin, just remind me, when was the fire exactly?
It was October 25th last year.
October 25th of last year.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. You've been talking to Martin over the last couple of days, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just a background to the listeners, they were underinsured tremendously, unfortunately, and the fire was major enough to destroy a lot of most of the building. And it was a great team effort. I mean, the guys at the Legions are beyond wonderful. I can't even begin to tell you, like, I just feel honored getting to know Martin and his whole team. So, I mean, it's something for the community. Please come in big numbers, support them, because these are the greatest of guys, and it will be fun, a fun event, I promise.
Martin, so it's 2 weeks from today.
That's correct.
And getting underway at what time?
At 2 o'clock.
At 2 in the afternoon. I hope you get a great day weather-wise as well. It's well-deserved.
The way the summer's been, we're not counting on it, but we'll have tents and whatever to try and protect people.
You're giving away free umbrellas.
I wish we could afford that.
No, here's the positive thinking, and I hope you get a great day.
All right. One last thing.
Yeah.
To all the veterans listening, mm-hmm. living in Dollard, Pierrefort, Roxborough, Saint-Geneviève, Ile-Bizarre, this is your house. Please, come and join us.
That's their home, absolutely. All right, well said, well put. Martin, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Bye now.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks.
9:24. All right, let me go in proper order here and bring in a Tony. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Hi. I like the fact that you're professionally clearing your voice before you get underway. I like that. you want to talk about your roof?
Yeah, I have a gravel roof right now. And I want to replace it with elastomeric.
Okay.
Now, the contractor told me there's two types, the white and the full white. And he says, I need to put the white for insurance purposes in the near future. And also that the gravel roofs will no longer be like something that's going to be accepted.
Okay. So it's not really for insurance purpose that is inaccurate. It's for city purposes and for environmental reasons more particularly. So the white roofs are... You know, actually, there are better roofs for you because you don't want to attract the heat of the sun in the summer. It's really the biggest enemy for roof is the sun.
Okay.
So it's it does help for sure. There's not a huge difference in price between the regular gray or green elastomeric membrane versus the white one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the gravel roof, tar and gravel roofs, it's not, I have not heard about them banning it as of yet. So there's not even talk about it. Personally, I have not heard of that. And if the guys can send me any info on that, I'd really appreciate it. But I want you to be careful from one thing, Tony. I want you to be wary of the sales pitch. The reason I'm saying that is because an elastomeric roof guy does not usually do tar and gravel roofs.
Correct.
So they try to dissuade you with different techniques and so on and so forth. Same thing goes for the tar and gravel guys. They will try to, convince you to go with tar and gravel. So do not let that sales pitch hinder you in making your decision. There's no regulation as far as the city is concerned, and I guarantee you, if you do have a flat a tar and gravel and something comes out from the city, they would not force you to change what you already have, your grandfathered in. So that I wouldn't want you to worry about. A properly done tar and gravel roof all relies on how many plies you get of tar. You have, usually they sell it in 3-ply or 5-ply, mm-hmm. or 4-ply, really. The idea is, here's, a little trick, is to be there when they're applying the plies. Because once the gravel is there, there's no way for you to know how many plies they applied. So they could sell you a 5-ply and give you 3-ply, and you wouldn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's very common, unfortunately. We see it. So if you can be there yourself, I would hire a roofing inspector to be there only for that part. When they demolish the roof, I like to have them there at maybe 3 different times, when they demolish the roof and when they apply the ply and then at the end of the job. The reason when they demolish the roof is because you want to also inspect the roof deck.
Right.
If there's any plywood that needs to be changed, any issues... with the fiberboard underneath, if that's fiberboard or anything like that. Good flat tar and gravel roof should last you 20 to 25 years, okay? Elastomeric roof should last you 25 years plus, again, if they're well done, right?
Right.
So the lifespan of both is, elastomeric lasts a bit more, fine. Easier to fix if you have a problem, because you can pinpoint where the issue is way faster, because
mm-hmm.
you don't have the gravel to deal with, so you don't have the maintenance of the gravel, less likelihood of having issues with the drain, as well, and so on and so forth. Less weight as well. The disadvantage is the price. So it's significantly more expensive, right?
Right.
It should be about 30% difference between the two. But the other aspect that you mentioned about the insurance and the city, that is not even an issue right now. So if you'd like to go back with tar and gravel, you can. There's nothing that will impede you from doing so.
Okay. Also, what's a tar and gravel roof is exactly what? What you're talking about, three ply, four ply? What is
that? It's literally tar and gravel, right? So you have a tar truck at the bottom, and what they're doing is they're literally, bringing up tar, and they're just spreading around with those brushes, brooms, whatever you want to call them.
Okay.
And then, they do one coat, and then they do another, and another, and another. So the more they do, the more likelihood that you have of, better protection or thicker protection on the roof.
Okay, so it's coats of tar.
Yeah, and the reason we put the gravel is because the enemy of tar is the sun, so the gravel will kind of act as a shield.
Right.
So the problem with that becomes with the wind and everything else and the snow and so on and so forth, that the gravel gets moved around with time. So you need to constantly, on a yearly basis,
maintain it,
add some areas, redirect the gravel to be well spread, because you don't want any areas in the roof to be exposed to the sun. As soon as you do that, it starts bubbling and cracking, and then you have water infiltrations. So that's really the disadvantage of it. Beside that, it's a product that has been proven to work and work for a long time.
Okay, now...
We're just almost up against the clock. You have one more quick question?
No, just if I go elastomeric, is there anything that's suggested, any type of elastomeric, or it's what?
I mean, the white elastomeric roof is the way to go for many reasons. It's advantageous to you. I always say it, and I know I repeat it, but I can't even repeat it enough. Ensure that the insurance of the roofer cover elastomeric or open torch welding, because not every roofer is insured for that. So ask for a copy and call their insurance company, or look at the specificities of the insurance policy. The reason they don't carry that most of the time is because it gets to be a lot more expensive than a conventional roofer's insurance.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Tony, I appreciate the call. Good luck with that. Look at the time. Dean's ready to give us an update. Then we're coming back with Suzanne, Mario, Amanda. Thank you for your patience. Your calls are right around the corner. It's a 9:37 on the nose. She's been waiting patiently. Without further ado, it's like I'm introducing you. You're coming on stage. Suzanne, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Where are you calling us from this morning?
Dorval.
Dorval, tell us what you want to talk to Walter about. You're on the air with him right now.
Okay, I have, I took down my deck, and we discovered that the beam running across the foundation wall is partially rotten. Mm-hmm. I called the deck guy in, he had a look at it, and he said he's kind of downplaying everything, and he says not to worry. I have to take the aluminum that was covering the beam off, let it air out, and then he says it's... he's not clear what he's going to do, and that's why I'm calling you. I want to know what the process should be if it's partially rotten. He talks about putting joist tape, and I don't know if it's okay to cut it and replace the part that's rotten, or do you have to replace the whole beam?
Okay. How old is this deck?
The deck was... about 25 years old, mm-hmm. and there were holes in the aluminum covering the beam.
Okay.
And that's where it rotted.
Okay. So the beam was not in treated wood. It wasn't regular wood, right?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. So that's one of your issues, is the fact that you have a regular untreated wood acting as a beam, which is a supporting structure. So that's a no-no in the world of decks, right? So
okay.
You want everything, especially when it's structural supports, you want it to be strong and what have you. Have you exposed the whole beam to see how many areas are rotted and what's the span that is rotted?
The span is 20 feet. It's not all exposed. My son-in-law is coming this morning to take it all off. From what I could see... There's two places, one at each end, where it's rotted.
Okay.
It looks like there's a fascia board on one end that's rotted, but underneath that it looks okay. And at the opposite end, it looks like it's, I can see the insulation in the house.
Okay. The fact that you have both ends that are rotted and you have not exposed the whole beam, so your answer might be easier than you think, because should you see any other areas that are rotted, then replace the whole thing and make it proper. Because, I mean, again, you're starting this whole process. You need to remove your floorboards in any which case, right? So while you're doing that, might as well you do a proper job. I mean, the fact that you're going to cut and join and, you know, do all of this work, you're already halfway through it to get it done right. And if you put a treated wood in there, then you don't have a problem. You don't have to worry about fascias and uncovering it and making sure there's no holes that appear and so on and so forth. The fact of the matter is you already have two rotten areas from either end. So, you know, what's left?
Okay. So, but the beam actually goes 30 feet.
Okay.
And the other 10 feet I don't think is exposed at all. So would I just replace that 20 feet, or would I have to replace the beam from one end of the house to the other?
I'm not sure you can get a 30-foot span beam anyways. So the answer is no, you don't have to, if it's still in good shape and it's well covered and not exposed and there's no rot in it. In any
okay.
which case, you would have had to have a couple of pieces jointed, you know, so it doesn't really matter because we're bolting that to the foundation anyways. So it does, like, the fact if it's one piece or two pieces does not make a difference as far as structure is concerned. Mm. It's just a question of practicality and ensuring that whatever you're keeping behind does not have the same problem in the future, so you don't have to respend more money because you have another rotted area. So if you can get to it all at the same time and do it, great. If not, you don't have to replace the whole thing because you need to be in one piece at all. So that's not an issue.
Okay, so I need to get a specialist to do this, right? Not my deck contractor, because he doesn't seem to want to go that route.
So any guy that uses Band-Aids for solutions is not the guy that you want, especially when you're talking about something structural and something that is rotted. You know, it's just a question. I don't know the situation. I don't know the level of rot, or, you know, so there's a lot of questions that I would need answered. But the logical, the logic would be is, you know, if you can do it right and you're exposing most of the beam anyways, so just replace it. Why do you have to
jack the house to do that?
Absolutely not. It's a question of the deck. This is how you just bolt in the deck to the foundation of the house. So they have nothing to do with the house itself whatsoever. It's really from the outside. It doesn't even need to go inside the house.
Yeah. Okay.
So what I'm trying to tell you, it could be easier than you think. Okay. Once you remove the complicated part is to remove the floorboards. Once those are removed, you could do pretty much whatever with the structure at this point.
Do you have any companies you could recommend me? No idea.
Maybe off the air.
Off the air. All right. Well, we're going to take your number down, actually.
Okay. Great.
All right. Don't hang up, okay? I'm going to put you on hold so your number shows on the board. Suzanne, who's that dog barking at?
That's my puppy dog. He's only 9 months old. I had to put him outside. Otherwise, he won't leave me alone when I'm on the phone.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold just so we can see your number and grab it. Hang on, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Dario, can you grab that number, Suzanne's number on the top? Just grab it there. Look at the time. It's 9:45. We're going to take a break and then come back. Mario's waiting to talk about a roof and a roof issue with Walter. Hang on. And Amanda, we're going to get to you as well. Don't worry. You turn my microphone on. Ken Connors and Walter Assey for Renovco, 10 away from 10 o'clock. Let's go right to Mario. Mario, thank you for waiting.
Yes. Hi.
You're on the air with Walter.
Thank you so much, guys. I'm in the process of looking for a roofer. So I notice that a few people are putting metal roofs and I don't want to put shingles. I don't want to go elastomer because it's so unattractive. It's just probably going to reduce the value of my property. Mm-hmm. So I'm choosing metal, and I just wanted to get Walter's opinion.
Hmm. Opinion on what exactly?
If it's a good thing that I'm going with metal.
Okay. So it is a good thing in the sense that metal is forever if it's well installed. There is a price hindrance. It's not cheap. So you have to be prepared for the budget. Different roof, metal roofs have different qualities attached to them. So I want you to be just mindful of that. There are two different types. So there's the metal panels and you have the metal shingles. I don't know which one you're choosing.
Do you have panels?
The panels,
because when I got the pricing,
yeah,
the difference between a shingle elastomer and this product, it's fabricated in Quebec, is about 30, maybe 27% more. So I'm ready to pay the price.
Okay. The other thing that I want you to be mindful of is what they're going to do below the metal decking. So did you have that conversation about the preparation of...
It's just unbelievable. They're putting, they're removing the old roof.
Yeah.
Because it was my choice. They wanted to put it on top. I says no.
Bravo.
So they're charging me an extra $3,000. I don't mind.
Okay.
And they're putting a... membrane that is a very expensive membrane. I asked the company for the name of the membrane. I called 3M, and they told me that's like $500 a roll.
Yes.
So when I called back the company, I said, that's the one I want. And they wanted to charge me an additional $1,700. I said, fine. And then I said, I want to go see one of your jobs. So I went. I went to Mascouche. And it's just unbelievable. They put like lats, you know, like a 1x3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And they crisscross it around the roof. Mm-hmm. I mean, that in itself was a two-day process. I was watching. I just literally parked my car.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to watch these people work. Artistically, it was just unbelievable. They put all those in. With the membrane, then they put the panels. Before they put the panels, they put all the bracing around the property, around the roof. And they did like in the center of the roof on the top, on the slope, they opened it up and they put ventilation. And then I'm just amazed. I said, I'm only paying 27% more. And I'm looking at them work.
Yeah.
And it took 5 days to do this roof. I'd love to show you. If I have a chance on Monday, I'll send you photos, Walter.
Of course.
It's just, I did a video too. Anyways, to make a long story short, all I wanted to ask you is if I'm making the right decision. I think I am.
Yeah. So, Mario, be mindful that the 3M membrane that you chose is really what's protecting your roof.
Yes.
So that's pretty much the best decision you have taken. The actual panels is to protect really that membrane. That's what most people don't understand how metal roofs work. It's not necessarily the most watertight, but the fact that if it's well installed, it will help. The fact that you opted for removing the old shingles is the smartest thing you have done in this case.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because, believe it or not, shingles are more heavy than metal. So imagine you're kind of... how much more load you're putting on top of your roof by keeping the shingles.
That's why I did it. I noticed that last year the snow on my roof was scary, and I says, my God, I got to remove the old roof.
Yeah.
Because I've had leaks before, so could you imagine? And you know when the leaks come? When there's heavy snow.
Correct. Now, the other thing, Mario, you want to be mindful of is with metal roofs, the snow will slide way faster. So you might need to put some snow guards if you have a steep slope.
Yeah, that was an extra $1,200, and I accepted that.
Yeah, especially in the steepest of areas, because you don't want to be having avalanches while coming to the house every time it snows, right? But it's definitely something, and plus, it's to be quite frank with you, metal shingles versus metal. Panels, the metal panels are way better looking than the shingles.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
They're gorgeous.
Gorgeous. I'm going to send photos. It's just, I just wanted you to see the experience that I went through.
All right.
I wanted to share it with you. No, really, I really wanted to share it with you. I listen to you every week, and I really respect you.
Thank you, Mario.
Mario, that's a great call. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, send him.
Hey, thanks, guys.
All right.
You're the best.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
I'm going to bring in Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
Hi, we got you on the air. Tell us about that washer.
Okay, so I was given a washer as a gift a couple months ago, and it was working well before they gave it to me, and the moment I plugged it in, it stopped working. So I was told it was the washer door latch. Mm-hmm. Which I ordered a piece from Whirlpool itself, and I changed it. And I also changed the washer door strike. So because those two pieces were really broken, I changed it. I put in exactly how the video shows. Mm-hmm. But every time that I tried to, like, turn it on and do the lock test, it still blinks, saying that it cannot, it can't start up. And it just keeps on saying, beep, beep. Okay, wait a minute more.
Okay, so you might not have a problem with the latch itself, or it could have two problems. When it doesn't start up, typically it could be an issue with the motor itself. And if you are talking about an issue with the motor, sometimes it's cheaper for you to change the washer than to change the motor. So I would look into that.
Okay.
But that's usually indicative of a motor problem.
Okay. Shoot.
You said you got this as a gift, Amanda?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Return to sender.
That's right, exactly. Return to sender.
All right. Good luck with that.
All right. Quick question.
Yeah, sure.
I know you're pressed for time.
Sorry.
Is there like a referral that you can give me to maybe I can be like, I don't know, like if they can check to see if it's really a molar problem, and then I can make a decision.
I mean, I just found, I was having issues finding good repairmen for appliances, and I think I just found one, which we added to our list of referrals. But
okay.
I only tried them once, and things went great. So I could give it to you, but sous réserve, like they say, right?
Yes. I appreciate it still.
Not a problem.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to take Amanda's number down? Is that what we're doing? Hang on 1 second. I'm just writing it down, Amanda. Stand by.
Okay, no problem. Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. And 1912, right? Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call. Good luck. We'll be in touch.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Bye. Bye. Walter, thanks. That was a busy hour.
It was.
You came in, you hit the ground running, thanks to your new security card that got you in here on time.
Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. That's Walter Rossi from Renovco. Don't go anywhere. Lisa is ready to go and answering all your car questions in just a second here. News is standing by as well. I'm Ken Connors. Dario, thank you. We're back tomorrow morning as of 6 o'clock. Have a wonderful Saturday.